John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 5. Thomas, one of the disciples, said unto him, the Lord Jesus, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Now, that's our selected reading with the Lord's blessing. Now, last Sunday, Mr. Les Hills spoke on this verse and clearly established the fact that there is only one way to heaven, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, who stooped in wondrous love to Bethlehem, went to the cross, gave his life a ransom for all, rose again in triumph, is at God's right hand, and he's there a living, loving, lasting Savior for all who will accept him, believe his word, believe in his name, believe that he indeed is the Savior from whom God sent in order to be the Savior of mankind. I want to bring in the other two names, the way, the truth, and the life. First of all, the way. How can we know the way? Or how can I be saved? I want to look at three questions added to the first one. On the outskirts of the city of London, there is a well-known maze of hedges, huge, and when you go into it, there are pathways, routes all over the way, this way and that way and the other way, and so that on entering it, it's not very long until one fails to find the exit. They can't find the exit because of the complication of these lanes and these hedges. Despite their many attempts and their great efforts to reach the exit, they find it impossible. They're just not able to do it. They can't do it. So what the people there have done, they've provided an open space in the middle of this great maze of hedges, and they've got seats there for people who find it impossible to make their way out, and they sit there and wait on someone to call on them. It's not very long until a park attendant arrives, and he looks at the people and he says, is anyone lost? Are you not able to find your way? And they say, yes, that is right. I've tried and tried, and I'm not able to make the exit. I find a way. And what the man says then to them is simply, if that is true, then follow me. I will show you the way. And so that lost person who couldn't find the way follows the person and he shows him the way. Now that's just a simple illustration of what the Lord Jesus is telling us here. I am the way, the only way. And the more you try, the less clear the way will be for you. All your efforts are in vain. Salvation is not by effort. Salvation is by faith. Reaching heaven is not accumulated human merit, not building up a case to present to God, but a total dependence on God's great love and grace that sent the Lord Jesus to be that Savior for us, that way to heaven. And so what we've got to do is to leave off every effort and rest only in him. Trust, believe only in him. Rest your faith in him, believe his word. That's what God is asking us to do. So on the matters of great importance, all importance in fact, we have difficulty with things in life, health or finance or whatever the case might be. These are important issues. But the all-important issues, what about eternity? We are not here forever. Some of us, if the Lord Jesus has not come, we will go by way of death. That is it. We are subject to death. And even no matter how young you may be, you should give consideration to your eternal realities. That is all important. I was glad as a lad of almost 15, I came to acknowledge my great need as a sinner. I knew I was unable to make my way there. The gospel had made that very clear to me over the years. I was privileged to hear it every Sunday. So the way was known to me. But how can I know the way? How can I reach the Savior? And I had to learn that it was be an acknowledgement of my need, my total need as a sinner. Sin didn't only render me fit for hell, but it made me unfit for heaven. And I came to know the Lord Jesus by a personal acceptance of him as my Savior and substitute. I could say that Christ died for me in my place. Condemned he stood. So that, as Mr. Hill's brother, Les Hill's, last week pointed out clearly, another scripture, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is an interesting word, that another. There is no other name. That word other means no second name. There is only one name, no second name or third name, one name only. And through his name, faith in his name, we know the way of life and salvation. So that eternal life and eternal salvation are all found in the Lord Jesus. How can I be saved? Faith in him alone. Now, the other question I want to raise with you is, how can I be sure? We live in a world of uncertainty. Many claim to have the answer, but when you say to them, religious leaders or other people, philosophers of ideas and different concepts of how we can get our way there, all these things are brought before. When you ask them, can you make me perfectly sure? They say, no one can say they're perfectly sure. You've got to wait until the last day. To say that you're sure is presumption. No, my friend, it's not presumption. It's just simply accepting the truth of Scripture, of the Lord Jesus himself. That's the whole point about it. How can I be sure? It is not presumptions. Presumptuous. We live in falsehood. There's a lot of falsehood. If you go to church and if you do good and if you do all the other, that is expected of us anyway to do good. That is not contributing to our salvation. We must come as empty-handed. Come to the Lord Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply, to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, guilty, vile, foul I to the fountain fly. Cleanse me, Savior, or I die. No, it's not presumption to believe that. It's believing God's word that cannot lie. What is the next word? I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. He's utterly reliable, trustworthy. Everything about his person, everything he said, absolutely trustworthy. That is the point. I am the way, the truth, giving assurance to us, absolute assurance. In John chapter 10, we heard last week too from a brother that the Lord Jesus is seen as the good shepherd and the door of the sheep. And what he's doing is he's leading out his own sheep out from the burdens of religion to which they were bound. The Pharisees were their leaders, and they were bound. They said they were making them secure, but it was the security of a prison. They were bound by their commands and by their laws, by their ceremonies. Unless you do those things, you won't be right. That's not God's way, not God's way at all. It's not, he's willing, he's prepared, and he's able to give us total security. His word is absolutely reliable. And what a thing in our day. Can we trust him? Yes. The simple chorus is, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my heart, my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. He's utterly reliable. The third question I was thinking about in this context, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. At the present time, all people have eternal existence. We will exist forever, no matter who we are. We are creatures of eternity. We will exist. But what God is offering in the gospel, what the Lord Jesus has provided for us, is not eternal existence, but eternal life. Life that links us with him, life that opens up a new spiritual life to us, with its spiritual blessings, with its eternal heavenly realities. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. I am the life giver. I'm the one who will give you real life, true life. He told the great religious leader, Nicodemus, about this great fact, about being born again and receiving new life, spiritual life. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand the way. The Lord Jesus pointed to an Old Testament incident where the people had sinned, and God in mercy and goodness told Moses, put a serpent of brass upon a pole, and whosoever looks shall live. Now, many of them didn't believe that. They're dying, but they didn't look. But had they looked, one look, and they would have lived. He's the life giver. He gives spiritual life to those who give the look of faith, rest in his word, believe him, and come into the good of it. You remember too that he not only spoke to the great religious man Nicodemus, but he spoke to a dear lady known as the woman at the well. And she was a different type of person. We're not sure about her background. Perhaps her life wasn't very wonderful, because the Lord Jesus exposed her past life and said, thou hast had five husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband. And so he brought conviction to her soul, made her realize, I'm not right. I'm not right with God. And the Lord began to speak to him. He asked for a drink of water, started the conversation. Then sitting at the well there, water, and the Lord Jesus took that up as the subject. And then he pointed out to her, he said, if you believe in me, accept me, I will give you the water of life. And you'll never thirst again. All those things you thirsted after in your life, they are no longer an appeal to you. You'll find a better, a nobler, greater life in coming into the good of this great eternal life and salvation that he was offering. And it's all in him, friend. Our salvation is in him. Our hope is in him. Our rest is in him. Our joys are in him. And to reach him one day in the glories of heaven were indescribable. We cannot begin to understand the wonder of it all. But even now in our daily life, we can enjoy that lovely life of communion with the Lord Jesus, a personal friend and someone we've come to love and know and appreciate and enjoy. He is life indeed. He satisfies the longings of our heart that nothing else can. There was a great king in the Old Testament called King Solomon. He was a wise man and he was a rich man. Everything he wanted, he could have it. He could put his hands on it almost immediately. He had everything that you could think about, all the wealth, all the lovely places to live, and everything he wanted to enjoy was all there. And yet it says about that, he said at the in his life, all is vanity. No matter how many possessions I have, no matter how many pleasures I pursue, no matter what I go after, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And that is true. The world cannot satisfy. It's impossible. There is nothing in this world calculated to satisfy the deepest longings of the human soul. Only the Lord Jesus is the answer to that. And the dear woman came into the good of it. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to her about her past, then he spoke to her about the living water that he would give her. You remember she said a wonderful thing. She said, come, see a man that has told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What a discovery for that dear woman. And it was all, friends, in a person. What a man the Lord Jesus is. One who was God from everlasting became man in reality. Born at Bethlehem, walked a stainless, holy, pure, perfect life, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Went to the end of the journey, the reason for his coming into the world. He's not only with God, with Mary, his mother, but he was with the transgressors. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for sins not his own. No sin, no stain, not a mark of dishonor about him. But for sins he died. And I'm glad I came to realize that it was for my sins he suffered. He bore my sins on his own body on the tree. And that brought not only the way and the truth, but life. Life in its fullness, life everlasting, life in all its satisfying power that we now enjoy and shall enjoy forever. And all these are open to us. All this is open to us. She left her water pot. What does that symbolize? The emptiness of the world. She left it all behind. And the next thing, she went into the city. The boldness of her testimony. Come see a man. Bold in testimony. When you get to know the Lord Jesus, you'll want other people to know that. Testify for him. And the third thing, is not this the Christ, the fullness of a satisfied life? She could ask for no more. She found in the Lord Jesus the answer to the deep longings and desires of her heart and life. Friend, that is my little message for you today. Christ alone, no other Savior. He alone can provide all that we need for time and eternity. it is worthwhile accepting him, trusting him, resting in him, believing in him to the salvation of your soul. For there is no other, and there's nothing else in this wide world of ours, with all its turmoil and strife. Even our leaders, our politicians, can't get an understanding of all that's happening. Nations against nations, and that's how it will develop, and it will manifest itself in a clearer way in the time to come. Maybe not too far distant. So it'd be wise, friend, be wise. Be wise and be earnest in your soul today. Seek the Lord Jesus while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways. That's their way. But you forsake all that. Come to him. He'll meet all your need. First of all, as a sinner, and each day you live, you can count upon his unfailing grace, the wonder of his presence with you, joy, the joy and peace he gives to your soul. What a precious thing it is indeed, precious thing. I leave it with you, friends. Think of the Lord Jesus again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father, unto God, but by me, the only way. May the Lord bring you to know him personally today. We'll ask his blessing.